And as you're seated, I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 again. Working our way through Matthew chapter 13. And as most of you are aware this morning, Matthew 13 contains several stories, parables we call them, stories that illustrate the kingdom of heaven as Jesus introduces each story and with the phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he describes truths of the kingdom in ways that we can understand and relate to in metaphors, planting seed in a field and leaven in a batch of dough and various things that describe the kingdom of heaven for us in what we would say are earthly terms, things we can picture in our minds. And so we've reflected on the fact that there's deeper truth here that's being indicated. The crowds seem to be content just to hear parables and don't desire any further truth or explanation, but the disciples are those that want to learn and understand, and so they're approaching Jesus and asking him, what do all of these things mean? And so we've looked through the parables that are given, seven of them in this chapter, and having come through all the parables, now we reach sort of a conclusion in an interaction that Jesus has with his disciples. If you remember the scene, again, Jesus has left the house he was staying in. He's gone down to the seashore. He's in a boat, and he's teaching people that are on the seashore, and his disciples are gathered around him. And so now he's speaking to them. And his interaction is here in verses 51 and 52 at the end of chapter 13. So having said all these parables to them, Jesus speaks to the disciples and says to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And Jesus said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and things old." Things new and old. So it's interesting, first of all, that Jesus finishes by looking them in the eye, in a sense, and saying, "Do you really understand? Are you putting all of this together?" is kind of the idea. Do you understand all that I've shared with you? It's even more interesting that their answer is yes, because we know these disciples, and we realize they're not really putting it together very well yet. But as far as they get it, they say, I think we're getting what you're saying and all of these things. But what's really intriguing is the takeaway, kind of the last, I guess you could call it the last parable, because he says in this statement, a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like, and so it's kind of a parable again. But he describes this disciple that's also a scribe, so a scribe that becomes a disciple, and he says this scribe that becomes a disciple is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. And if you're like me, you read through that and you say sort of in the back of your mind, okay. It's difficult to understand what exactly is Jesus getting at here. He's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to what would be officially known as scribes. And so why does he bring up scribes in this sense, a scribe that becomes a disciple? And also, that being the case, what does it have to do with the parables that he's just spoken? And how is this a challenge to his disciples? It's the therefore. How does this really affect them as they think about life ahead of them or making sense out of these things? It's an interesting statement. And I would assume that if you look around for sermons on these two verses, you're not going to find very many of them. But I looked at the text and thought we work our way through it, and I don't want to jump over this. And so this past week, just dug in, investigated, and considered, what does this mean? And I want to share with you what I believe it means and what the Lord has led me to share. Again, this is one of those statements Jesus doesn't explain. He just says it. The kingdom of heaven, or the one who's a disciple of the kingdom of heaven, is like. and just shares what he's like and moves on. And so we're left to ponder that, to consider that. And I do believe that there is much value in doing so. So let's ask the Lord's blessing on this statement as we consider it today. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for the word. We thank you for that which you have given to us. And Lord, we thank you for the reminders we have of its importance to us. Lord, we even consider the scene in which the resurrected Christ was sharing with disciples, and Lord, what really affected them was the explanation of the scriptures that Jesus gave. Lord, we pray that we would be people who not only confess Jesus Christ as Lord, but are committed to the body of truth that you have given. We pray today as we consider these words of Jesus to his disciples that we as well would receive from you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So again, drawing our attention particularly to verse 52, Jesus says, "Therefore every scribe who has become a disciple." So he mentions this person known to be a scribe. And a scribe basically is someone that was devoted to the scriptures that God had given. Devoted to what we would call the Old Testament. The recorded word of God that had been copied, preserved. The scribes were those that were devoted to copying it, to keep records of it, to keep it preserved. And not only to preserve it and to have copies of it, but to study it and to interpret it and to help explain it to others. So if there was anyone in Israel that you would go to get answers about perhaps things you misunderstood in God's word or parts of it that you hadn't yet read that you wanted to hear and know, you would talk to a scribe. Scribes were people who knew God's law, who knew the word of God. And I believe it's in that sense that Jesus is bringing them up, because the disciples seated around him weren't typically known to be scribes. In fact, most scribes that we run into in the Gospels are not followers of Jesus Christ. And so you wonder, well, why is he bringing this up? And the disciples who were seated there might have thought the same thing. A scribe that becomes, I'm not a scribe, so what does this have to do with me? That might have been their thought. A scribe that becomes a disciple, why does that, what does that have to do with me? And what does this mean? And what I understand from this, and what I want to share with you, is that what Jesus describes here as someone who is like a head of a household, bringing out of his treasure things new and old, he's describing something very important that needs to be done, but something that can't be done by one who is a disciple alone. A disciple that must also be a scribe. Only a disciple that's a scribe can do this. It's something that not only a scribe can do, but a scribe that is also a disciple. So there's a union of two identities, really. The identity of a scribe and the identity of a disciple that Jesus says is critical. A scribe that becomes a disciple. A scribe that becomes a disciple. So we want to think about this person. What it is, a scribe that becomes a disciple, and why this is so important, and how he's like a head of a household. So why is this the case, that a scribe, someone devoted to the Word of God, to interpreting it and explaining it, when he becomes a disciple, how is he like a head of a household? Why is this the case? And I think there's really three things we can draw from this. And the first is that they see the proper goal of God's Word. That's the first thing. A scribe that becomes a disciple of Christ sees the proper goal or the proper focus of the Word of God. In other words, there are many scribes who are versed in the truth of God's Word, who know the Scriptures, and yet don't believe in Jesus Christ. And you wonder, how could that be the case if all of Scripture is meant to point us to Jesus Christ? And for us who believe in Christ and are His followers, that's a bit confusing, but we understand that many people do. They study God's Word, they read it, they seem to know all the answers, and yet they're not followers of Jesus Christ. A scribe who is also a disciple is one who has seen the whole purpose and the goal of the Word of God. So just remembering, first of all, that scribes are those that have devoted themselves to studying God's Word. That's what a scribe is. They've devoted themselves to studying it. And that much of their work and their identity, we emulate. That they study the Word of God. They read it. They record it. They study it. And that's something that we as well ought to emulate. 2 Timothy chapter 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." That's important to us. It's important to a scribe. So a scribe that's become a disciple is one devoted to God's word, 1 Timothy 2:15. And God's word has led them to believe in Jesus Christ. So God's word, the scriptures, have had a certain work in them that as they've studied, as they've learned, they have come to believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the promised one, as their Savior. So the scriptures have led them, as a tool, have led them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible is intended to do. John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus says to probably some scribes, he says, "You search the scriptures, because in them you think you have eternal life. And it is these that testify about me. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life." So he says, you people are devoted to the scriptures because you think that's where salvation is. That's where it all is. But that's what testifies of me. And at the end of that chapter, the end of John chapter 5, Jesus says to them, "If you believed Moses," Moses being the one responsible for the first five books of the Old Testament, the law, "if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" Well, that'd be kind of a stinging rebuke, wouldn't it? If you devoted your entire life to knowing the Word of God, and he says, you don't even get it. He wrote about me. If you don't believe me, you don't even understand the Scriptures. And so God's Word is intended to lead us to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So one who says, I know the Word of God, I studied it, I've read it, I get it, I understand it, and yet they don't have a relationship with Christ, they've missed the whole point. So Jesus says a scribe that becomes a disciple is like this. God's Word has led them to believe in Christ. God's Word provides the knowledge, provides knowledge that leads to salvation. The Scriptures don't provide salvation itself. They give you the wisdom and the knowledge leading to salvation. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, Paul says this to Timothy, "You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Tremendous statement there. You've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Scriptures provide knowledge that leads to salvation, and yet the salvation is provided only in the Lord Jesus Christ. So a proper study of God's Word should lead to salvation in and provided only in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I chose to read that account of the Emmaus Road disciples. As they were walking along and Jesus is talking with them, what Jesus ends up saying to them is, "Don't you understand the Scriptures?" He doesn't say, "Don't you understand what's going on?" He said, "Don't you understand the Scriptures?" And then he goes back to the beginning and he leads them through the Scriptures, showing how it all speaks of himself. Provides the knowledge that leads to salvation, and the salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. And so a scribe that becomes a disciple is one who not only has the information and the knowledge, but that knowledge has led to the person of Jesus Christ in whom there is salvation. So it's necessary that they're both a scribe to have the information, to have the truth, to have the scriptures, and a disciple of Jesus Christ. And you might think then that having been a scribe and studying the Word of God and now being led to Jesus Christ, there's really no more need for the Word of God. I figured it out. It leads me to Jesus Christ. Now my faith is in Him, and so I have no more use for the Scriptures. In fact, many people have that attitude regarding the Old Testament. I'm a New Testament believer, and I found Jesus Christ, and so I don't need all that was supposed to lead to Jesus Christ. That's categorically false. Because a devotion to Jesus Christ and a knowledge of God's Word actually intensifies our devotion to it. And so a scribe that becomes a disciple is one who doesn't cast off the Word of God and say, well, now that I figured it out, I can move on. It's one who actually is more eager to investigate, to study, and to learn from the Scriptures. So a scribe that becomes a disciple sees the proper goal of God's Word. The other thing that I believe would describe this, a scribe that becomes a disciple, is that they know the proper value, the value of God's Word. Jesus says here, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. That's an interesting description. A head of a household that has a supply, wealth, has a treasure, and out of this treasure he can bring forth or give to others, give to the household is the idea. And that whole description of being a head of a household with treasure to give to others or riches to give to others shows us a particular relationship to God's Word, a particular relationship to the Scriptures. And a scribe that becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ has a peculiar or a proper understanding of the value or the riches of the Word of God. In the sense that, first of all, the Word of God becomes very personal to them. Very personal. Jesus says he's like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure, his riches. And describing one who has things that are his own. Now you think of that in relationship to the Word of God, or a scribe that loves the Word of God and handles the Word of God. A scribe that follows the Lord Jesus Christ has a personal relationship to God's Word. It's more than just a textbook or a book of information, a book that has answers. A disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, one who loves God's Word, has a very personal relationship to the Word of God. It becomes God's Word to them. Not simply a book, a textbook for intellectual understanding and academic exercise. There's a personal element to it. So the Word of God becomes very personal. And the Word of God also becomes very precious. Not just personal, but also very precious, very important. And it's not only for those that are properly educated and trained. It's for all those who know Jesus Christ to study, to learn, to grow. And because the Word of God has led us to our Savior, because it tells me all that He has done and how much He is needed, it produces in us this personal relationship with it and a recognition of how precious it is to us. And so the scribe, one that is committed to the Word of God, who is now a disciple of Jesus Christ, is one who not only has understood God's Word as it relates to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's one who now sees the immense value that it has. And the Word of God is precious to them. And as we're working our way through this, we need to be considering ourselves, right? This is Jesus talking to his disciples, some of whom would become the apostles. And in that sense, they would not only be explaining the Old Testament Scriptures, but God, through them, would be giving the New Testament Scriptures. And so very important to them in that sense. But to all of God's people, it's describing a peculiar relationship to the written word of God. I think it's important as we look through this to see that Jesus is really describing here a desire to see all disciples have the heart of a scribe. All of his disciples be committed to the written word of God as he himself is. And having committed themselves to the written word of God, then to have something of immense value to share with others. And so as we consider all of this, our question first of all is, have we met the Lord Jesus Christ through the written word of God? And having done so, what kind of a relationship do I have with the word of God? Is it something that's just for information, education on a Sunday? And I learn a few things from it, and then life moves on, and there are other things I got to take care of. Or has it become a precious treasure of God himself, the riches of who he is and what he's done to you? What is your relationship with the word of God like? A scribe that becomes a disciple knows the proper value of God's word. But ultimately, what Jesus gets at is this function. The scribe that becomes a disciple is like someone that's doing something. A head of a household that's bringing out of his treasure things new and old. What does this mean? Well, I think it means that they demonstrate a peculiar sharing of God's word. What they do is extremely important. He said that the scribe that becomes a disciple is like one who is not only has something of great value, he possesses something of great value, but then he is bringing out of that for others. He's taking the riches that he himself has and is broadcasting it, distributing it to others. And in that sense, he says he's like a head of a household that has this immense wealth that he's freely sharing with the household. So they demonstrate a peculiar speaking or sharing of the word of God. And it reminds us that God is teaching, or Jesus Christ is teaching, these disciples that what they are learning is intended to be shared. It isn't just for them. It isn't riches to be hoarded for themselves and they could leave saying, isn't it wonderful all that we're learning? Jesus is saying it's important that you go out and broadcast this and share it with others. And so they will, as they do so, as they share the word of God, as they go out and speak it, they'll demonstrate a peculiar way of doing that. So in that sense, he says, this is what it will be like. And so I want to look at ways in which a disciple who speaks the word of God, who knows the word of God, communicates it to others, is like a head of a household here. I think, first of all, in this phrase, bringing out, he brings out of his riches. They speak God's word freely. Speak God's word freely. The phrase bringing out of his treasure, is like the idea of throwing out, just casting out. It's like you're opening up the treasure box and you're just casting the riches out for other people. And he says that's like the scribe that becomes a disciple. He has the immense riches of the word of God and he's giving these riches out to others. And they're sharing in the riches and the wealth of the scriptures of the word of God. So they speak God's word freely. But I also think this parable about being a head of a household means that they speak God's word faithfully. They do it in a particular way as they're sharing God's word. The head of a household is one who has responsibility over others. The head of a household is one who provides, one who protects, one who is looked to be the responsible one for the home and for its preservation. So Jesus says the one who is a student of God's word, a scribe devoted to the word of God, who is also a disciple of Christ and of his kingdom, is like a head of a household in the way that he shares with others. It tells us that they have a sense of duty to share God's word. They have a sense of duty regarding the treasure itself. They have a sense of responsibility with the riches that they've been entrusted with. They themselves have learned and they've received and they've studied and they've grown, and now there is an obligation to do something with that, not just hoard it or to keep it for self. It reminds us of what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, that to whom much is given, much is expected, much is required. So there's a sense of duty, like a head of a household. Now that you've received all, now that you've understood, what are you doing with that? What are you doing with what you've been given? They have a sense of duty, not only to share God's word, but they also have a sense of responsibility for other souls. Now, I'm careful when I say that because I know that we don't have the understanding that I am responsible for whether or not you get to heaven. Okay, that's between you and God. What I am responsible for is for knowing that to the best of my ability and according to my conscience, I have shared entirely with you the truth that God has given, that is able to make you wise unto salvation. And in doing so, I'm doing it out of responsibility to you. I think of the words of Samuel when he said, "Far be it from me to sin against you by ceasing to pray for you." That's my responsibility. And a scribe that becomes a disciple, one who is studying the Word of God, growing in it, and a follower of Jesus Christ, now finds that he has a responsibility to others, to share with them, to bring to them that truth. Just as someone was faithful to share it with you, now you've been entrusted with it. Now you've studied, now you've learned, and you can share that with others. There's a sense of duty, a sense of responsibility, like a head of a household. Reminds me of how pastors are described in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. The phrase is used that someone who uses the Word of God and is a pastor over others is to do so as one who is keeping watch over souls and who will give an account for that. It's a heavy statement to anyone who would stand behind a pulpit and preach the Word of God to know that I have a responsibility for the souls that are seated before me and I will give an account for that. And in that vein, Jesus is saying, the one who is a scribe and a disciple is one who is like a head of a household, bringing out of his riches things new and old for the household, responsible, duty-bound to the Word of God and to sharing it with others. They speak God's Word faithfully. But then the final phrase Jesus uses here is an intriguing one, isn't it? They bring out of his treasure, he brings out of his treasure things new and old. What I believe he means by this is they speak God's word with a peculiar freshness. There's a freshness to it. There's different words for new. We can translate new from a couple of different words. And one is new, like brand new. Never had before. Ne'as, I think, is the word. And it would describe something that hasn't been and now is. It's brand new. The other word describes something that already is, but it's been made new. It's like new. And that's the word that he uses here. And I think it's critical that he would use that word because he's connecting it also to what is old. He doesn't mean that the scribe that becomes a disciple is one who is eager to present something entirely new to you and has a new idea, a new truth. That you need to hear, that they themselves have found. That's opposite of what a scribe that becomes a disciple is. But he's one that brings the Word of God to you with a freshness and a newness to it. That it is bathed with the Spirit of God and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's no longer just a works-based presentation of law, that the law says this and God demands this of you, and that's it. There's a newness, there's a freshness to the presentation of God's Word, and that newness is found in Jesus Christ. What a scribe that becomes a disciple speaks is new because of Jesus Christ himself. He makes it new. John chapter 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Jesus calls that a new commandment. Now, friends, we all know that that commandment's been around a very long time. Love one another. You could go back to the Shema in Deuteronomy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And yet Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. There is the newness. We look to Jesus Christ, and suddenly this whole idea of loving someone else has a model, has a context. I get what he means now. It isn't just doing good things for another person. It's a genuine sacrificial devotion to those around me. It's new. He's made that old commandment brand new. For that reason, John, the disciple, the apostle, says in 1 John chapter 2, Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. This is an old writing. It's an old commandment. On the other hand, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. What a perfect commentary on what Jesus was telling his disciples here. John says, brothers, friends, I'm not sharing anything new with you. You've had it from the very beginning. It's the old word which God gave to Moses and the prophets. And you've had it for so long. And yet, it's brand new, isn't it? It's been made new in the Lord Jesus Christ. New in him and new in you. What they speak is new because of Christ. And yet, secondly, there's nothing new about the word that they speak. We look not for new ideas, for greater truth, for a new message. But we look to that truth which has been given from the very beginning. Interesting that Jesus taught or decided to share this with his disciples at this moment. I'm still not sure why he chose this moment to say this. But I do see the meaning of this. The importance of being both scribe and disciple. A scribe without a disciple is an intellectual hypocrite. A disciple that isn't a scribe is dangerous. Only a scribe that is also a disciple can do this very thing, have the riches that are freely shared with others. Things new and yet things old. How desperately this discipline is needed in our day. People prefer, it seems, often therapy rather than truth and the difficulty of grasping it in God's Word. I read something in the commentary that John MacArthur wrote regarding this passage, and he made this statement as indicating the trouble when we don't see the importance of both being a scribe and being a disciple. He said, some who call themselves Christians refuse, in the name of love, to proclaim anything that is fearful or uncomfortable. I recently read that the purpose of a certain Christian broadcasting organization, and this was the interesting part to me, this is a Christian broadcasting organization kind of telling their broadcasters, the stations that share their broadcast, with how they're supposed to do that. The purpose of their organization is to be a good neighbor to a variety of listeners. And the policy statement given to prospective broadcasters includes this instruction. When you are preparing your program for these stations, please avoid the following. Criticism of other religions. Any references to personal conversion. Missionaries. Believers. Unbelievers. Old covenant. New covenant. The church. The cross, the crucifixion, Calvary, Christ, the blood of Christ, salvation through Christ, redemption through Christ, the Son of God, Jehovah, or the Christian life. The idea is, it says, these people listening are hungering for words of comfort. We ask you to adhere to these restrictions so that God's word can continue to go forth. Please help us maintain our position of bringing comfort to suffering people. Now that shocks us, doesn't it? It shocks us a bit to see that this is a Christian broadcasting place. But friends, it shouldn't surprise us to find there are many out there who are disciples who are not scribes. Just as it shocks us to find that there are many scribes who are not disciples. A lot of intellectuals, a lot of academics out there who seem to have missed the boat. Jesus says to his disciples how precious it is when a scribe is also a disciple. We know that there's an apostasy coming, a falling away from God's truth. How shall we stand if we're not grounded in it? And so, much like Jesus does in this text, well, he doesn't really do it here, he kind of indicates the need for it. I plead with us to remain steadfast and committed to the written word of God. To endure the statements, you hear about, well, your people that worship the Bible, it seems. I can handle that. We know. We worship the God of the Bible. And we stay committed to it. I thought applying this text, we could apply this to kids. For kids, we train them to be scribes, don't we? We train them to be scribes. We teach them the Word of God, and we have Sunday school, we have step-by-step, and we do what we can as a church to give moms and dads tools to say, here's the Word of God, here's what we're learning, here's what we teach our own kids from God's Word. We train them to be scribes. Why do we do that? So that they know the truth, which is able to make them wise unto salvation. It isn't by having all the answers we assume they're going to be saved, but they're going to have what's necessary. So we train our kids to be scribes, and we pray that they become disciples. For pastors, I think this is very applicable. We don't seek a new idea. We don't seek just to be relevant. But we seek to have a firm grasp on what has been spoken, what has been written, a firm grasp of it, and a rekindled passion for it, a passion for the Word of God, like when we first believed. And for all of us, not just kids, not just pastors, for all of us, let's not merely be scribes accumulating knowledge and answers to questions, but also disciples. And let us not merely be disciples who follow Jesus Christ, but see no interest in doctrine or understanding of God's word and make ourselves prey for deception. Let's not merely be disciples with no appetite for the word of God, but let us also be scribes. Then we can be like a head of a household, bringing out of our riches things new and things old. Let's just bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for its effectiveness. And Lord, for revealing Jesus Christ in the word to us, and through him creating an appetite, a desire for the scriptures in us. God, how thankful we are for that, that now we can go and read and learn and know the salvation we have in Christ and grow in our understanding of it. Lord, how we see the importance of being one who is devoted to the scriptures, characterized as a scribe, as well as a follower of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the impact of this teaching. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.